Last week we were discussing how...
How dare you ask me to give you less taxes? Who do you think you are?
Right. Yeah. Well, okay, so one thing at a time. So last week we were discussing how Rehavam, the son of Shlomo, of King Solomon, was now to be king after Shlomo died. And the people came over to him, they asked him, listen, you know, your father was really tough on us, he had really high taxes... We're asking you to please, you know, make life a bit easier. Take down the taxes, the tax reform.
Give us a break.
Right? Give us a break. You know, don't be so strict like your father. Now, Rehavam had two sets of advisors. Right. He had one set of advisors who were the advisors of his father, of Shlomo. They were the Skenim, the elders. They told him, listen, tell the people I'll do exactly what you want. I'll lower taxes, I'll make life easier for you, right? And the younger advisors, the kids that he grew up with, they told him, no, you gotta be strict. You gotta show them who's boss, right? Don't just give in to them, right? Make a stand. Right? That's what you gotta do. And so now let's see. So first he tells Rehavam tells the people, come back in 3 days. I'll give you an answer. So the elders told him...
He already knew the answer.
Well, he didn't know it. He wanted to hear what everyone had to say, right? What he wants to do, his goal is to be king for as long as possible. That's his goal. Question is how to achieve that, right? And both the advisors were also trying to achieve that goal, to be a powerful king for as long as possible. The elders thought the most effective way to achieve that would be by complying to the people, because then they will announce you and will. But the younger people, the younger advisors said, no, you got to show them who's boss, you got to take a strong stance, and that's how you're going to be a lasting king. Now, the elders told him, don't wait for the full 3 days. Tell the people to come back right away. Right, to show them how much you're concerned for them, you want to ease their burden, and when they see how much you're eager to please them, then they will willingly accept you as king. But he didn't listen. He listened rather to the younger advisors who told him to be tough. So let's see Pasuk Vav, right, number 6. Vayvayis hamelech Rehavam es haskenim asher hayu oimdim espnei shlomo aviv biyosei chai lemor, right? Right? He turns to the elders and he said, how should I go ahead and how should I deal with this? Right? Meaning what he was asking was not how, what should I do, rather, how should I push them off? Right? Meaning he already knew at a time that he's not planning, like you said, he's not planning to fulfill what the people wanted. That he knew. Right? Just the question is, how should he deal with the request? How should he comply? That was the only thing he was asking them for. What do they say? The elders turned to him and they say, if you tell them right away that you'll give them what they want, right? Then they will happily accept you as their king. And Chazal over here say that stiras skenim binyan, the destruction of elders is really a rebuilding. Because what were the elders doing? They were telling him, meaning they were telling him to destruct, so to speak, meaning like give away of your power, give away your power, right? Which is, no one wants to do that. No one wants to willingly give away power. But they're telling him, destroy your power, so to speak, right? Because through that, they will accept you willingly as king, and you will be able to reign for much longer, right? So destruction of elders is really a rebuilding. That's what's going on over here. and he gains two things. First of all, that they're not going to ask for any more, right? They're going to be satisfied. And... and secondly, since they realize that he's easygoing, they will not request any further laws. Rather, they're going to just accept him the way he is, right? Anoint him as king, and then later on, once he's already king and he's already established, then he can decide, okay, you know, maybe we'll imply this law, maybe we'll imply that law, but that's only much, much later down the line. That's what they're telling him. Don't do anything right away. You want to set the tone much later. So that was the advice of the elders, which is obviously very sound advice.
Why is it sound? They don't learn from history. They didn't learn. Shaul's undoing was that he gave the people what they wanted.
There's a difference, right? It's one thing giving the people what they wanted if you're going connected to Ratzon Hashem. With Shaul, King Saul, when he was giving the people what they wanted, that was going against a direct order from Hashem. And that's wrong. Over here, there's nothing, there's no preference, you know, to Hashem. Hashem, you know, doesn't really care if he's, you know, a tough king or a soft king, right? Meaning, obviously, he cares, but it's not the point. The point over here is that he wants to achieve the goal of being king for as long as possible. Right? The question is how to achieve that? By showing them who's boss or by complying them and showing them that he's softer?
What you say, were they meaning tell them, okay, but when you get more friendly with them, then you'll
exactly.
get it to them.
Exactly.
But the other one said, nah.
And you got to show them right now.
Right away.
Right away.
Well, that's
right.
The difference. People with brains are young people who know nothing yet.
Right, exactly.
That's why you have to handle.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why the advice of the elders is much better advice. Yeah. So let's see Pasuk Ches. Let's continue. V'yazoiv es atas eskenim asher yatsu. Rechavam left the advice of the elders. Right, and he turns to the advice of the young children who grew up with him, who are standing in front of him. Now, notice what the pasuk is saying. This pasuk is pointing out how these young advisors grew up with him, meaning just like when they grew up, they were children and they were mindless, they didn't have any wisdom. So that's the same way they were acting right now. Right, they're in that same head, that same mindset of children, just like they were when they grew up together. Right, and not only that, but they're standing in front of him, like the pasuk says. Why is it important to point out they're standing in front of him? Because what it means is that these younger advisors are going to be the advisors for the king now. The elders, they're already old; they're retiring. Right, they're going out; they're going to collect their pension, and that's it. It's over for them. But these young advisors, they're going to now take the position, and they don't want to give up power, right? They want to be part of a kingship that's very powerful and that has full control. That's why they're biased, and they're telling him to go ahead and not give him at all and take a strong stance. Are you going to say something, Arkady?
No.
You're going to say something?
No.
No. Okay. I thought so. Okay. Yes, pasuk test, next pasuk, number 9. Ve'emar aleim, ma'atam noyatsim. V'noshiv davar sa'am azeh, asher dibur elai leimar, kelim yana'ol, asher nosan avicha oleinu. Right, he turns now to the younger advisors, and he said, what advice do you guys give? Right? And notice that when he says, how to reply to the nation? He says v'noshiv, meaning all of us together, me and you, the advisors together. Meaning we're all in the same boat over here, because me and you are going to be the ones that are either going to give up power or keep all the power to ourselves. So he's all pointing out to them that that if they give up power, they're all going to lose. Pasuk continues, Vaidaru Elav Ayalodim Asher Gadlu Itoy Leimor, Koy Toymar Alam Azeh, Asher Dibru Elecha Leimor, Avicha Ichbedes Uloi Ve'ato Akem Ma'alenu, Koy Tadabar Alem, Kotani Ava Mimafni Avi. So let's see the pasuk again. It's a long pasuk. So the younger kids turn to him and they say, Koy Toymar Alam Azeh, This is what you should tell this nation. Asher dibru elecha lemor, where they came to you with the proclamation that your father, avicha ichbedu soleinu, your father was very, very tough on us. Now we're asking you to lessen the burden. So, meaning this is what they're asking for, and so the young advisors are telling him, "Koy tadam re'alem, katani ava mi masni avi." The Radakaver explains it's a very interesting lashon that the advisors are using. Katani ava. The Radak explains that katani refers to the smallest limb in my body. Rechavim is saying, is bigger than the biggest limb of my father, Shlomo. Meaning, I'm much more powerful than my father. Why am I more powerful than my father? Because, for a few reasons. My father, first of all, he started off like that. Meaning, he already was a powerful and tough king. And still, you're obligated to listen to him, right? So, all the more so, me, that I already have a right to be king, I already have a right to reign, because I'm the son, I'm the prince, right? So, obviously, all the more so, that I have the right to continue in the path of my father. Right? That's what he's telling them. So, my father didn't really have the right, and he did it anyway, right? So me, that I'm the son, and I have the right to reign, so too, all the more so, I should have the right to continue like this.
I just seen over here what I said before about what the older men told them what to do. Like I said, but you'll be able to reign as an absolute monarch. That's what they told him, if you give in to them. And they will be your slaves, since you will flatter them and pull the wool over their eyes. That's exactly what he says.
Right.
Tell them it's okay. I'll do anything you want, but later.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way to do it. Yeah. So now the Malbim over here points out, he tells them, Koy toimar, koy tadaber aleim. There's a difference between Amira and Dibur. Amira is, you know, the actual bottom line, and the Dibur is explaining to them and elaborating on what you actually mean, right? Meaning that's a very famous concept. When you speak, right, when you speak in public, first, you tell them, right? Tell them what you're going to tell them. You tell it to them. And then explain to them what you just told them. Right? That's how you have to give over an idea. Tell them what you're about to tell them. Tell it to them. And then explain what you just told them. Okay. Let's see next. Pasuk Yud Aleph, number 11. That avi hem is alechem ol kovet vani oisif oil al aluchem avi yisar etchem b'shoitim vani ayaser eschem b'akrovim. Right, my father brought the burden over you, and I will add to that burden. My father tortured you with whips, and I will torture you with
scorpions.
Scorpions, yes, scorpions.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's a very, very nice
way to say to a bunch of people. They're really going to like you for that.
Right, for sure.
They'll love you.
I'm sure they're going to love it.
What
yeah.
does that mean?
Hello?
What does it mean, whips versus scorpions?
So I don't know what's the difference between whips and scorpions, but the idea behind it is the same thing you were saying before, that because I have more of a right, so to speak, to be king, because I'm the prince, therefore, I'm going to make it even worse for you.
So scorpion is worse.
Yeah, scorpion apparently is worse than a whip.
Okay.
It's just a metaphor that's used to show how much worse it's going to be off for you.
Whip is pretty bad, too.
Whip is pretty bad, yeah, but scorpions, I guess, are worse.
I think the difference, a whip What does a whip do? It makes a line on you. It'll go away. But a scorpion bites you.
Mm.
And it can poison you and kill you altogether.
Right. So it's way worse. It's internal, you're saying. Very good. Very good. So now,
like that.
But Yahweh, so let's continue. Pasukut Beis, number 12. But Yahweh Yeravim Chalam El Chavim Bayim Ashlishi. Yeravim and all the people come over to Chavim on the third day. Right? Remember, I originally told them to come back after 3 days. Kasha Dibra Melech Leimar Shuvu Yalai Bayim Ashlishi. Right? Like originally said, come back on the third day. Yeah? So now they're coming back and they want to see what he has to say. So now, the Malbim points out that he shouldn't be upset with him for coming back at this point, because that's what he told him originally to do, right? So there's no point in him speaking to them in a harsh and anger fashion, right? Because they're doing what they were told. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that. And yet, he still makes the mistake of speaking to them in a very very cunning and an upset fashion. Pasuk in Gimel, Vayana Melech Sa'am Kasha, right? Number 13. The king turns to the people and he speaks to them very harshly. And by speaking to them harshly, he's already leaving the advice of the advice that the elders gave him. Meaning, he didn't yet tell them what he's going to do. Right? He didn't tell them, I'm going to be tough, I'm going to be more and more easygoing. He didn't say anything yet. Even the beginning, his opening speech, his opening line, was already a very, very strong and harsh way to speak to the people. And by that, he's already leaving the advice of the elders. Now, he still could change. He still could say, yeah, you know, I'm going to be nice to you. Right? Say it in not such a nice way, but tell them the actual message will be that it will be nice to you, so you still there's still hope. Meaning, you still can can turn and still accept to some degree the advice of the elders. But the next pasuk tells us he didn't even stop at this point. Pasuk number 14. Right. Not only did he leave the advice of the elders, but now he goes ahead and he acts on the advice of the younger advisors. And he tells them, "Avi hichbid es ulchem, my father had a strong burden on you. But oisif al ulchem, I will add to that burden. Avi isar etchem b'shoitim, v'ani ayasar etchem b'akrabim." Again, the same line. My father will torture you with whips, and I will torture you with scorpions. Yeah, so if he would have in fact just spoken to them harshly, but his message would have been that he will be easygoing, then even though he's speaking to them harshly, they'll still the people would have been happy with that, because at least he promised to be nice, right? Even though he's speaking to us in a harsh way, at least he's going to be nice. But not only did he speak to them in a harsh way, but he also gave them a very tough message. They were not prepared to hear. Pasuk tisva v'lo shama amelech alam ki hoisa sibamim Hashem. The king did not listen to the people. And then this was all a reason. This was all planned by Hashem. L'mad hakim es dvarei asher tiber Hashem yadachila shileini al yeravam ben avot. In order to uphold the nevuah, the prophecy that Hashem promised through Achia, the navi, the prophet, to Yeravam ben Nevat. Why is the pasuk repeating this whole thing that there's a prophecy from Achia for the benefit of Yeravam? The reason is because sometimes when a prophecy takes place, it could still change. It could still change based on the actions of the person that was being prophesied about. Right, so if Rechavim would have changed his ways, maybe maybe there was still a chance that he could remain king. Right. However, in a situation where it's a prophecy that's going to be bad for one person but good for the other person, in that case, it never changes. Even if the person that it was supposed to be bad for, even if that person changes his ways and becomes a better person, it's not going to help.
Because you can't make the other person...
Right, you can't make the other person pay. Yeah. Right? Other person, the benefit, you can't give up the benefit of the other person. Mm-hmm. So over here, even if Rehavim would have changed his ways and would have become a better king, it still wouldn't change things, because then you're taking the king, the kingship away from your Ravam, the competition. Mm-hmm. Right? So that couldn't happen.
Now, that's still, with these prophecies, that bothers me all the time, from way back. You already know what's going to happen. How the heck could it be different? All these people through the years suffered and died and did, and they were told that was going to happen. What do they have to look for?
There are always two paths. It's not always going to be, it's going to be this way no matter what. No, there are always two paths, right? Meaning, just like when Mashiach comes.
You just said in certain places, it does.
Right, there are exceptions to the rule.
I was talking about that in those places.
Okay, I tell you,
when we come to the, I always get bothered by it, but I have to accept it, that's all. But, you know, I don't understand.
Well, generally speaking, there's always another way. There's always another path, right? If we're talking about that it's going to be bad for a certain person, right, there's always another option. It's not like, it's going to be this way and
can
change.
But the thing is, it seems every time we get to these things, what's going to happen, and it says, but by Mashiach Satan, it's going to change. Everybody's going to see this. But how is that going to happen? Because that makes it happen. You could have made it happen way back with Adam. Why do you have to go through all this people dying and for people living like this here?
Well, every single generation has a potential Mashiach, right? It says, the Gemara says...
But it doesn't have... It didn't happen. But it doesn't say...
That's up to us. That's up to us.
Why is it going to be different when Mashiach comes?
What do you mean? Why is what going to... Why is what
yeah,
gonna be
why are the people going to change? They haven't changed all these years, from all the way from here and here. Why is it going to be... He's going to... Like, he's going to cut the thing from his heart. Everybody's going to understand everything else. But it seems it's going to happen because God's going to make it at this point. In all the Haftarahs that we read, God says, don't worry about this is bad now, but it'll be better. It's going to be better.
We can make it happen sooner.
So why couldn't it happen first?
Well, we could make it happen sooner, but we haven't done our
They didn't do it there either.
Then
Mashiach, it says because God is going to circumcise their hearts. Right. But not going to do it by himself.
You're right. There's two forms of Mashiach can come.
People are going to see the light and they're going to do tshuva.
There's two forms Mashiach can come. Mashiach can come either if we better our ways, then he will come early before the time, right? Or he could come on time. Meaning when Hashem created the world, he created a schedule for the world, right?
Yeah,
at this point, this is supposed to happen. At this point, this is supposed to happen.
The way it's written, it says God's going to, Gemara, their hearts, and they're going to see the light. But God's going to make them see the light. They're not going to see it by himself. That's what it seems.
That's one possibility.
That's what it seems to be. So why can't God make them see now? Why does he have to wait till everybody sins and everybody does this? And all these people die all through all the generations.
It will be much better if it happens based on our actions. If our actions cause Mashiach to come, it'll come in a much better way.
You're absolutely right. Right, but it just seems it's not going to be our action, because God's going to make it that way.
If we don't better our ways, then yes, God will have no choice. And I'll say, okay, you guys couldn't get your act together. I'll have to do it for you, right? It says that Mashiach...
I hear what you're saying. I got to accept it.
Okay, next.
Yeah.
That's it.
Vital, come on.
Okay, this is a much longer discussion, but... we'll...
I want to... Before you leave today, after tomorrow, I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Not about this.
All right. Yes, the Pasuk design, number 16. V'yakru kol Yisrael ki lo yishama melech aleihem. The people, the Jewish people, saw that the king Rehoboam did not grant their request. V'yashivu am es hamelech davar lemur. They return to the king and they tell him, Malanu chelek b'David v'linachla b'vnishai. We have no part in David and no part in Ben Yishai. We'll see in a second what that means. Le'alecha Yisrael, ato re'e v'secha David, v'yelech Yisrael le'olav. Everyone, return back home, go back to your tents. So now, if they would have accepted the advice of the elders to give the people what they wanted and to be nice and easy with them, then even though the smarter people amongst them will realize that later on he's probably going to become tougher, but still, most of the people won't realize that, and they'll accept it. They'll say, okay, great, you know, he gave us what we wanted, that's good enough for us. Okay, we'll anoint you as king, right? Even though the smarter people will know that he's probably going to be tough later on, right? So that's what could have happened. But once he refused blankly to grant the request, then everyone realized that this can't go on. We cannot have this king, this person, become king. And they tell him, "Ein lanu chelek b'David." We don't have any part in David. V'lo nachala b'ben Yishai, and any part in Ben Yishai. Meaning what? Meaning because a king can become a king in one of two ways. Either the kingship went from father to son, for generations and generations, for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's one way, right? Secondly, another way a person can become king is if, for the benefit of the people. The people realize that this could be a good, kind, and accepting king, then they will willingly anoint him as king, right? That's another possibility. So now they're telling him, first of all, Ein lanu chelek b'David, right? Meaning what? First of all, you're part of David. You're not part of our tribe, right? This is what the rest of the tribes are telling him. Right? You're part of the tribe of Yehuda. David comes from Yehuda, the tribe of Judah, right? There's no tradition that you should become king, right? The kingship was not in your family for hundreds of generations. Right? It was only your father, your grandfather was the first one.
Third generation.
In his family, right? Third generation, that's it. It doesn't even go that far. And secondly, Elun Chelek Ben Yishai. We don't have any part in Ben Yishai. The Yishai was the father of David. And Yishai was a regular man, right? He didn't have, there was no kingship in the family of Yishai. It was only David was the first one. So therefore, there's no reason for you, Rehoboam, to remain king. That's what they're telling him. And so therefore, they say, everyone go back to their tents. What is that in reference to? That's in reference to the idea that the palace of the king gets rebuilt through everyone leaving their tents and giving up their own personal life in order to bring to build the palace of the king. Right? And now they're pointing out, okay, and that's it. Now we're going back. We're going to rebuild our homes, our tents, right? And not rebuild the palace anymore. We want nothing to do with the palace. Now we're going to go back to our houses and take care of our own families. We're not going to none of this business of going back and building a palace of the king. Pasuk good sign. Uvnei Yisrael ayoshim bar Yehuda ve'im lachaleim rechavam. Now, the only people that actually accepted Rehoboam as king was his own tribe. The tribe of Yehuda. The tribe of Yehuda and the tribe of Binyamin. Right? So those two tribes accepted Rehoboam as king. And the rest of the tribes, the remaining 10 tribes, they did not anoint any other king yet. But they did not accept Rehoboam to be their own king. So all they did now is left Rehoboam. But they didn't go to anybody else. Meaning, there's still hope, there's still a chance for Rehoboam, there's still an opening for him to, you know, to change his ways and to become king. But not only does he speak harshly to the people and reject the request, but he makes it even worse for himself. What does he do now? Pasuk Yuches. Vayishlach HaMelech Rechavim es Adoyram. Rechavim sends Adoyram, Asher Alamas. Adoyram was the ministry of finance still in the time of the father. He was the IRS of that generation. And, like, you know, being the IRS, he was wasn't exactly beloved amongst the people, right? He was the one who to collect the taxes. He was going to accept all their money, right? And he wasn't exactly an accepted figure. So when Rechavim sends Adoyram, who is a very hated figure, what do? Vayirgumu kol Yisrael by Evan vayamos. The Jewish people give him what he deserves, or what they thought he deserves, and they stone him to death. Rechavim realizes that bad news is not happening, and he fled to Jerusalem. And that was it. That was the end of the malchus for Rechavim. So before it was more passive. It was more, okay, we're not accepting you to be our king. And now they're actively rebelling against him. Now they're first of all stoning the king's representative, which is a clear and obvious rebellion. And now that they actively rebelled against Rechavim, now they need to go ahead and find their own king, because until now, it was kind of in the gray area. It was neither here nor there. We didn't accept you as king, but we don't have anybody else. But now that they actively rebelled, now they have to anoint their own personal king in order to continue some level of kingship. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue next week.